We hear in the first reading from the prophet Isaiah the line that says, "I am the Lord, your God." But what does it mean to be the Lord? What does it mean to be a Lord? By definition, it means someone who has power, authority, or influence, a master, a ruler. So what is it that the Lord our God rules? Everything. He rules absolutely everything. Now, I know people might get tired of me making an analogy about creation and the cosmos, but he is the Lord that rules over everything, everything known and unknown, everything discovered and undiscovered. So because I use the example of the cosmos so much, I'll use an example today that is much more closer to home, that of the human heart. Did you know that the cells in your heart, your cardiac muscle, are the only cells in your body that have their own electrical charge? On their own, your cells will fire in your heart, and if they didn't, you'd be dead. But they are the only cells in your body, of all the millions of cells that we have, that function on their own. He is the Lord of that. Now, I tried to think of something that would be so contrasting to that and be exactly opposite from the cells in your heart, so naturally my head went to prehistoric sharks. So that's where I'll go next. Did you know that there was a shark that once roamed the waters of the earth that was 52 feet long, called the Megalodon? That's a big shark. Now, I like to think of Jesus being up in heaven thinking, what else shall I create today? I know, the world needs more gigantic sharks. So he did. He's the Lord of that too. Now, eventually, he realized that a 52-foot shark was just ridiculous, and he made them more regular size, like 11 to 13 feet. But still, he is the Lord of all biology that creates sharks both big and small. Now, because I like the cosmos so much, I will actually use an example from there. Think to yourself, because maybe biology's not your thing. Think to yourself and answer in your head, not out loud, but answer this question. Does the universe have an end? I don't mean chronologically. I don't mean at some time will the universe end. I mean, does it have a physical border? If you were in a spaceship and you were flying forever, do you eventually hit a wall? And if not, how is that possible? How can something be infinite? Because those are the two options. Either A, the universe has an end, and we are inside some cosmic marble, or B, there is no end to the universe, and it goes on forever, which seems improbable. How can something go on unendingly? I don't know, and I don't have the answer, because honestly, thinking about it for too long just makes my brain hurt. But the Lord is the ruler of the universe, whether it continues on forever or whether it has an end. Now, in the reading from Isaiah, after he says he is the Lord, he continues by saying, "And there is no other. I am the Lord, and there is no other." Which, when you think about it, is quite comforting, isn't it? We have a clear, consistent message through the prophets, through Jesus, and through the apostles, that there is only one God, only one opinion that we need concern ourselves with. There is one God who loves us, and who wants to be loved by us. So now we finally arrive to the line from Isaiah that I love out of all of the readings today. For the Lord tells us through the prophet, "It is I who arm you, even though you knew me not." What does that even mean? Well, I like to think that it means that the Lord prepares us no matter what. When was the last time that you were having a really good day? You were absolutely killing it at work. Your personal life was on point. Maybe you hit a PR in the gym. For those of you who don't know what the gym is, talk to me later. It's great. It's a new world. I'll open your eyes. Anyway, maybe you were just waking up that day, and you, when your feet hit the floor, you knew it was going to be a good day. The air smelled sweeter, and every interaction that you had was pleasant, and people were just nice and helpful. Not a thing was wrong in the world that day. And when that happened, did you recognize it as a gift from God? Did you recognize that the Lord armed you with everything that you would need to face that day and be successful? How about the last time you had a terrible day, when everything and everybody was just nasty? I mean, a day when you woke up, and before your feet hit the floor, you knew you were late, and then it just got worse from there. It seemed like everything and everyone was against you. Did you recognize that day as the Lord also arming you? Did you recognize, could you identify the Lord giving you the grace that you needed just to get through that day? Somehow, even though you felt like that day was going to break you, when you made it through, did you find yourself crawling on the knees of grace, helping you just barely get over that day's finish line? Because both are examples, and everything in between is an example of how he arms us, how he prepares us by his grace for everything that we need every day. And we pray for this in the Our Father when we say, "Give us this day our daily bread." Prayer and frequent reception of the Eucharist allow us to recognize that grace, and not only to recognize it, but also to respond appropriately to it. Now, many practices and traditions that we have in the church, we get directly from the example of Jesus. The gospel today provides another tradition that we have, that of being armed and prepared by the Lord. The idea that we will be sustained by grace, or by the grace of the Father, that we hear about in Isaiah, we can clearly see this being played out in today's gospel. For the Pharisees are trying to trap Jesus with his own words, yet they do not recognize him for who he is. Jesus is the incarnate Word of God. He has command over all words and all logic. He is the one word spoken by the Father forever. Rather than get tripped up, Jesus is armed with what he needs to give an answer to them so that he is not condemned. Jesus was fully human and fully God. We don't have the advantage of having that blessed hypostatic union. But we know that when we rely on God, sometimes in our desperation, some of our most honest prayers are ever prayed. But also, we are always given the grace that we need. I think a lot of people confuse the grace needed to continue with comfort or feelings of confidence, meaning that I only know I have grace in my life if I am comfortable with the circumstances of life, if I am confident that I will make it through. So let me give you a few quick examples of the way grace is lived out through the sacraments. A high schooler I know who loves his faith and is discerning the priesthood plays a lot of soccer. He lives out the grace of the sacrament of baptism every time he answers his teammates' questions about the faith to the best of his ability. He often says sometimes he doesn't know what he's even going to say when they question him, but he just starts talking and it all seems to work out. This is the grace of the sacrament of baptism. Next example, I don't think any parent loves changing diapers. I think if you polled 100 parents and asked them if there was one thing they could change about child rearing, the top answer would be changing diapers. And yet, when one spouse finds the strength, when they are physically and mentally exhausted from lack of sleep, when they can't remember the last time they ate, when they have to take care of other children and also be productive somehow at work, when they hear that the baby needs to be changed once again before bed, when they find to get the strength to get up and change that child, even when it's a massive, massive blowout, when they find the strength to be in service, to sacrifice their own needs, wants, and desires for the love of the other, that is the grace of the sacrament of marriage being lived out. Last example. Now, I have been a priest for 16 and a half months, and there is a lot that I have heard in the confessional already. Not a lot surprises me anymore. There are still the occasional things, and it's a good thing we wear masks these days so people can't see my facial expressions, but most of the time, it's pretty boring. That is to say, not all of the time. Last year, during one confession, a person walked in who had not been to confession in decades. What they had to confess was very serious. What kept them away from the church was the shame they felt over their actions. What they felt when they left was joy, peace, and forgiveness. Now, I often will pray in the confessional that I am given the words to help someone, for I am but a mere youth. Many people who come to confession are much older and have more life experience than me. But I pray to the Holy Spirit that I may have the words to help them and to seek after Christ. And it was no different during this confession, for I was praying to the Holy Spirit, having heard the magnanimity of the sins that they have just confessed. I felt I gave sound advice to the person, but as soon as they walked out of the confessional, I started crying. Not because of anything that they had said, not because of anything that I had said, but because of the realization that in that moment, the Lord had used me as a conduit of grace for this person to receive forgiveness, healing, and renewed hope. Who am I that the Lord allowed me to be in this position to welcome this person back to the church? It was very intense. And I knew after that that I would need some time to recompose myself. But this was the hour of confessions, and I had been slammed the entire time up to this point. But the Lord gave me a grace that for the next 5 or so minutes, the time I needed to cry, not a single person walked into the confession. And afterward, as soon as I was done crying, the door opened. This is the grace of the sacrament of holy orders, given at a time when I needed it. So no matter what we are facing, if life is going great or life is going terrible, we should pray this week for the cooperation with grace to see everything as it is and know that while we may not see the purpose of some things, God is truly arming us with the grace that we need to face everything.